Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Welcome everyone to Rock That Relationship. We are here today as part of our larger series on past life relationships, and we are so excited today to have on a guest, Susan Reynolds, who is new to us, but you know, we're so excited because I'm already feeling Susan's energy as we were prepping for this. Susan's a karmic astrologer who has over 40 years of experience. And she was just telling us about how she combines her intuitive senses, psychic abilities, things like that to give you a reading that is really just unique. And I am thrilled to kind of experience this and kind of unpack what Susan has to offer and get her take on maybe, Tracy's in my connection and how we move forward. So Susan, thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure. I'm excited to be here. I'm
great.
Thrilled to talk about wherever this time goes. We'll see what happens.
Right. The flow of it. Well, you know, maybe you could just start by telling us a little bit about, you know, you were starting to tell us a little bit about your kind of approach, but what do you do with astrology? How did you get into this work 40 years? I mean, this has to be some kind of calling. Tell us your journey.
Well, I started a long time ago before astrology was cool or accepted or anything else. You know? And at that time, I had a spiritual teacher who asked me to do a chart for him. And I was just a student. You know, like I had a real full-time job where I earned a living. So sure, just for fun, I read for him. And he said, Susan, you're really gifted. You should be doing this. I said, oh, no. I'm just a student. I don't know anything. I'm not going to ever do this. Well, my spiritual teacher happened to have his own clients, and he was a professional psychic full time. This is back in the 80s, I think. And one day I got a phone call from a woman I did not know. And she said, Ben, who is my spiritual teacher, told me to call you and get a reading from you. And I was horrified. No, I can't read for you. I'm just a student. I don't know anything. And this woman very calmly said, yes, he told me you would say that. And he told me I was to insist on getting a reading from you. And so this woman and I argued for 20 minutes. And finally, wow. I said, oh, all right, I'll read for you. And the rest is history. That's how my astrology was born.
Wow. Did you always know that you had like an intuitive side to that? Because I know there are people who do astrology that just really do just readings of charts and with the houses and all that. But you have more of an intuitive sense about you. How did that come about, discovering that?
Now, I've always been intuitive from a child, but I thought that's normal for everybody. When you're a kid and you do something, you just think everybody does it. It's not a big deal. So it wasn't until I was in my 20s and started to realize, oh, everybody else doesn't do this or see this or have a vision or have a dead person appear in their dreams. Oh, this is a little bit new. And so I had to start sort of making peace with that because remember, this is the 80s and things were not as accepted. And so I had to start sort of figuring this out, like how far do I want to go with this and do I mention this to people? And you know, I had my own journey of step by step learning what works and what doesn't.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. And the way that you've been able to combine those things. So I know for our listeners are probably, you know, some people have had astrology readings. They understand astrology, or at least at the most basic level, they read horoscopes, right? But, you know, how does astrology work? Like what actually is it?
Well, astrology doesn't control us. It doesn't tell us what to do. It doesn't tell us what we can't do. We have free will. We make our own choices. Absolutely. Oh, I had an affair with my boss because my chart showed I may have affairs or something. No. We make our own choices. But astrology is a wonderful help because it gives us information that empowers us. And a chart can say, oh, you can do this, but doing this might be swimming upstream. Where if you work in this way, you might have the wind at your back, so to speak. So it clarifies things for us. It helps us understand our choices. Most of all, I love that astrology helps to explain ourselves to us. oh, that's why I'm this way, or that's where that comes from. There's like that moment where a light comes on, and a lot of that has to do with understanding our past lives. I'm what's known as a karmic astrologer, because when I'm looking at somebody's chart, I'm looking at their past lives. I'm looking at what have they experienced in other lifetimes, and most important of all, what have they come into this lifetime to learn? Why is this area a challenge, or this area is so much easier to me? If you have time for this, I'll tell you this quick story about when I first did my first professional reading. I was sitting down, I was meditating on this woman's chart. It's back in the 80s, you know, and spontaneously I had a vision. And I had a vision of this woman's past life. And I saw her in Ireland. And she was married. She had like what we would consider a lot of kids, like 7 to 9 children. It was, she cooked, she cleaned, she had kids, her husband farmed. I think she died in her late 40s, early 50s. And then the vision went away. And I was left there saying, like, oh my God, what do I do? I can't tell somebody this. You know, she might not even believe in past lives. Might be all she can do to have an astrology reading. I can't throw this out at her. And then the other part of me, the devil and the angel are arguing. And the other part of me goes, but you had this vision for her. You should tell her this. So back and forth. And I finally decide to tell this woman this vision. And I'm almost like a little embarrassed. Because if you're going to have a past life vision, it should be exciting. They should have been a pirate or a Civil War general or, you know, something with some meat to it. But no, she gets to be a housewife, a lot of kids, blah, blah, and she dies. Like, who wants to know that? So very kind of shamefacedly, I started right off the bat telling this woman about this reading. I said, if she gets upset or she doesn't like it, she can just leave. I won't charge her any money. I'll just do what I know I had to do, and that'll be the end of it. So I started to tell this woman this vision that I had. Very beautiful, well put together, very professional looking young woman, maybe her early 30s. She bursts into tears and starts sobbing. She says, oh my God, that explains my whole life.
Wow.
I'm sitting there shocked. And okay, so she starts to explain to me. She was born in Massachusetts to a large Irish Catholic family. Mm. And the women, although they were encouraged to go to college or get an education, they sort of got married and had kids, and they might get a job to help out the family, but they didn't really have careers. And she said, I always knew I didn't want that. I always knew I didn't want to be a wife and mother. I wanted to have a career. She wanted to be a lawyer. And she said, I always felt guilty because I always felt like I was letting my family down by wanting something else. And she said, now I understand why I didn't want that. I had that already. And in that moment, I could see this woman sort of like becoming free, letting go of her guilt, moving into something she was supposed to be and do. And at that moment, I said, okay, if this happens again, I'm going to share it with my client, even if it seems like nonsense to me. Take me out of it. So after that, and to this day, I still go into a time of prayer meditation before I read for a client, and I share what I get about their past lives. Okay. Sometimes it answers questions. Sometimes it's a little painful. Sometimes it's very joyful. I never know what's going to happen in a reading. You know, I open that door, and wherever that reading goes is where it's supposed to go. And I just sometimes hang on for dear life kind of thing, you know?
Can I want to ask a question about that. So, like, when you get, like, do you just get the reading and just, I mean, clearly this woman had her own insight, but like, can you understand through the astrology or some other intuitive way, like, why would this woman come back to an Irish Catholic family? Like, why would her next life be in an Irish Catholic family? And it's almost like she had a, was she put there to make the choice? Yeah. So like break that, or like you'd think she'd come back in a more like cosmopolitan way, but no, she like came back in almost the same situation, but maybe in a country that gave her the
opportunity. She didn't
opportunity to do something. Well, yeah.
This is, and I'll share, this is my own personal views about karma, about astrology, about spirit, about lives. We come in and we choose our chart. We choose what we're going to work on. And we choose the circumstances of how we're going to meet that. So that's up to us. But of course, once we're born, once we come out into this world, we have no conscious memory of that. I thought she was very smart because she took the best of that lifetime, the love in her family. You know, she brought forward, again, the Irish Catholic loving family that she brought. She brought forward the best, but always knew in this lifetime she was meant to do something else. So she was on the right path, but we are often our own worst enemies. We feel guilt. We feel shame. We stop ourselves from doing things we know are right, you know, kind of thing. It almost takes our whole lifetime, it feels like sometimes, for us to believe in ourselves. And I think astrology helps to speed that up a little bit because it helps you to believe in yourself. Most of my clients, I've never met them before, don't know anything about them. I specifically ask them not to tell me a lot about their life. So here's this stranger telling them something or confirming something that they have felt their whole lives that they may be pushing down. And the stranger is saying, no, instead of pushing this down, embrace this. And it's like, they're getting permission to be themselves. And I think it's a very powerful thing that all of us can benefit from.
100%. We've had this experience, I in particular, with an Akashic reader and then also with an astrologer. And it made so many things for me make so much sense that didn't make sense before. And also the astrologer that we went to, I did coaching with her for a couple months and it was so helpful. And one of her things she said was that karma was not for punishment, but to learn, right? It's for learning. And it's interesting because my stepson last night was talking about karma, like people, you know, getting what's owed to them. And I was like, look, actually, the concept of karma is for learning, not for punishing, right? And so when you look at it that way, it's so different.
Well, I also tell people, we tend to think of karma as something bad. Oh, karma's going to get you kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But think about your life. Do you have a happy relationship? Do you have children you love? Do you have work you enjoy? Are you healthy? All of these are examples of positive karma. You know, that's karma too. We're just sort of glossing over it because it's not bothering our life. But
right.
Those are examples of positive karma that we often take for granted. So I absolutely 100% agree with your teacher that karma is about learning and we choose our lessons. And when we're asking, why is life so hard? It's because we decided we were ready for advanced class or, oh, I can do that. Then we come in and go, oh, not so much. Wait a minute. Can I talk to somebody? I don't like this.
Right.
Or it is interesting because I've spent a lot of time in Asia, so you can get merit, right? Merit's the same thing as karma, but they do distinguish between merit and karma. Like by earning merit, you're going to bring yourself good karma, right? But essentially it's the same thing. And then like, I'm going to be 55 this month and it's taken me this long to get to the point where I am getting all the good things. Like, and I am kind of like, I felt like since I was a kid, I'm here to do work on relationships. So I kind of not care about my career so much and everything has been focused towards relationships. And I finally feel like, okay, I'm at like the perfect place where I was meant to be, you know,
and
to put all these lessons into practice.
The older that we get, the more we own ourselves, the more we have learned some lessons, the more we are able to see ourselves sort of outside ourselves and look at the decisions we've made. We're more able to look at forgiveness. And sometimes the person we need to forgive the most is ourselves. You know, especially, and I'm not trying to get too personal here, but both of you have shared your charts with me. And both of you are Virgos. And Virgos hold themselves to this really high standard.
Yep.
I'm perfectionism. I'm supposed to be perfect. I'm not supposed to make a mistake. So there's a tendency for them to really punish themselves. Oh, I didn't do that right. Oh, I could have been better. And as we get older, we start to realize, oh, you know, I'm like everybody else. I make mistakes. You know, forgive yourself and go on.
Yep.
We get there, but sometimes it takes a while.
Exactly.
Corey's more like that than me. Corey's like a Virgo.
I'm a Virgo. Because you've seen my chart. I've got a lot of Virgo. I've got a lot of earth energy. I've got a lot of that. Yeah, the perfectionism. Well, Susan, you did look at our charts. I don't even know what can of worms we're opening right now, but let me ask you, what did you find? If you're willing to share some of your insights.
I was so shocked about were all the similarities between your charts.
Mm.
Not only are both of you Virgos, but you're both Virgo rising. Both of you have your sun in the 12th house. Both of you have your Mercury sitting right next to Pluto. I know you don't know what this means right now because you don't know the planets, but I'm just listing astrological coincidences. Both of you have Venus in the second. Both of you have Neptune in the third. Both of you, like, wow. Everywhere I look, there are a lot of similarities in these charts. And so when the two of you sort of met up, I don't know if you met in childhood or adulthood or how you met, but when you met up, it's like, oh, I'm comfortable with this person. Oh, they get me. Or, oh, I don't have to explain everything. They understand. They understand because they have those same energies in their chart. So it's very easy for you to sort of have a shortcut way of dealing with each other, you know, because you both get it. You both have that. You both, to some degree, struggle with the same things.
Mm-hmm.
And so you own it. And many people have very misconstrued ideas about soulmates, because I'm not saying you two are soulmates, but I am saying you two have had other lifetimes together, multiple other lifetimes together. And so people have this very hallmark view of soulmates, like, like soulmate is going to come rushing in, and it's like, what, Tom Cruise, you know, holding his heart saying, you complete me, and violins and go off and music teams up. It's not like that at all. You know, sometimes, yes, your soulmate is your romantic partner, but many times your soulmate might be your parent, a best friend, a child. A soulmate comes in to help you in this lifetime, that each one of you has something to learn from the other or contribute to the other. Sometimes it's about finishing up things you didn't get to do in other lifetimes. Many times what people confuse a soulmate relationship with a past life relationship. You're a sophomore in college, you go into the cafeteria and you meet eyes with this guy across the room and click, oh my God, I'm so drawn to him. I've just got to, and you walk up and you say, is this seat taken? No. And the two of you just hit it off, boom, 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 boom. You think that's a soulmate relationship. You get married, but it turns out he's an abuser and is physically abusing you. And I'm saying this because I've had not one, but several clients in this situation. And they've stayed much longer than they should have stayed because they convinced themselves this is a soulmate relationship. But really, it's a past life relationship that you came in to learn something. And when somebody was talking to me about this, I said, well, what makes you think your lesson is to teach him about love? Maybe the lesson is for you to say, I deserve better than my face to be a punching bag when he's annoyed. So we can confuse and get a lot of confusion about past life relationships and about soulmate relationships, because we don't always know what the lesson is or what we're here to learn from that. So, yes, dealing with a therapist or talking to an astrologer or looking at things from different perspectives, this is something astrology helps us do. And
well,
we can
look
at this differently.
So interesting. Cori didn't tell you what, when you said she shared, what did she share with you? Our birth dates and our birthplace, and that's about it, right?
And your time of birth.
Time of birth. So everything that you said, we've heard that like from three or four other people. So when people say, oh, like, of course there are scammers out there, right? But that's all we shared with you was three pieces of information. Our other astrologer said she confused our charts a couple of times. She's like, oh, that when I was talking to her, so, oh, that's Cori's chart. Oh, that's, you know, because ours were so similar, like basically you overlay them and they're almost identical.
Yeah.
And several people have told us we've done several lifetimes together and that we came here to learn lessons this time.
Yes.
You know?
I agree. Now, when I look at Cori's chart, one of the first things that I look at in terms of where has Cori been, what has she learned, I see lifetimes of work, of success, of being focused on career, of wanting to achieve. Hang on a minute. There's at least one lifetime, and I hope this is okay, because, like, you open the door and you
go ahead. Bring it on,
yeah.
There's at least one lifetime here, Cori, where I see you so focused on achievement and work that you sort of accidentally ignored your family. You know, I see you being married. I see you having children. But it's like they're off here to the side. Your professional life is over here consuming everything. And the funny thing is, I see you being a man. And I see you kind of being very proud of yourself, like, think, oh, I'm killing it. I'm providing. They have a big house and clothes. I'm super, you know, successful here. It was not until you left that lifetime and were doing your life review that you realized, oh, my family wanted me there. They didn't care about the big house and fancy clothes. They wanted to play catch with dad or talk over their problems with their father. Or you realize something you didn't realize before. And this is what happens a lot when we're dealing with karma. We're not bad people or evil people, but we make mistakes. You know, and this is a mistake. You weren't trying to hurt anybody. You thought you were even doing great. You know?
Listen, we know about this lifetime that you just described for her because we've already been told about it. And she was a man in like a big city in the like 40s or 50s or 60s. And then she died and she met that person who was her wife in that lifetime. And she's already written a book about it. It's coming out next year. But listen, she has been like the best mother in this lifetime. And she's gone above and beyond, you know, what she could have done. And it's directly tied back to that. We've already heard this. It's so interesting.
So
this lifetime, she has her goal, a family. Mm-hmm. Like her soul said, I'm not making that mistake again. Mm-hmm. I'm not ignoring my family this lifetime. This time I'm going to do it. But what you have to remember is that in that last lifetime where Corey was out of balance all work, it's easy to come into this lifetime and be just as out of balance saying all family. The idea of a lifetime is not to go to the opposite extreme. Then you're just still at an extreme. The idea in a lifetime is to take the best of both and bring them together. How do I balance being a successful professional person with being a good family person?
But that's what she's done. That's what she's done. Like she's like that. She's done all of that in this lifetime. And I'm annoying to her because I don't care about the podcast and career as much as she does. And yet we are in this together, some of these things. But she's managed to do all of this and be a great mother.
And that's showing she's achieving the balance that her soul came in to work on. But what happens is, as long as we're alive, Tracy, you're saying Corey has done this, and I think that's great. Big congratulations. But I'm also going to say our chart doesn't stop at a certain age. Like, oh, I'm in my 50s, nothing else to learn. I can just coast from here on in. I'm in my 70s, and I'm going to say I wish because still learning. I'm still growing. I'm still struggling with my stuff. Every time you sort of heal one issue or learn a life lesson, boom, it's like a page that turns and the next lesson shows up. We don't stop learning as long as we're in a body in this lifetime. And that's a good thing.
That's the embodiment of Corey. She never stops learning, you know, never.
There you go. I love it. Now, your chart is not set up that way.
Your chart
is not. So I totally see you not being as focused on the career.
Right.
You know, for you, I hope I'm not getting too personal here, but again, I'm going to say when I look at your chart, I see lifetimes of being in the earth and not of the earth. Like lifetimes where you were in a nunnery in the mountains somewhere. You came in and you were some sort of, you know, farmer that lived in the middle of nowhere by himself. It's like you have a love-hate relationship with coming into the earth. And
you were literally, someone just told us that. Like, literally.
We just recorded
heard that
an
like
episode
2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, literally, the lady almost used the exact same words. She said, you're of the earth, but you're like a farm person, but you love being around people. And it's like, I'm torn between the two. Go on. Sorry.
That's okay. It's nice. When you hear somebody saying almost the exact thing, that's what I call your double check.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got confirmation because neither one of us know what the other one's going to say. And so you can kind of trust that a little bit more. Yeah, you're used to, and your soul has been used to many lifetimes alone by yourself. So coming into the earth now and being in a, you know, in the United States, which is full of people and activities and do and go, this can be more overwhelming for you, not only, you know, for Corey, but for anybody else. You need lots of time alone to rest and regenerate because sometimes you just can't take the world anymore. And other people may not understand that, like, what do you mean you need to rest? Everybody needs to rest. Get on with the job. You know, you're just being a lazy bum. No, you're not. Because if you engage too much when you know you need that quiet time, you'll get sick.
But you know what's interesting? Because I'm a total extrovert and I'm married to an introvert, right, who does need that time and she gets overstimulated. And I don't present that way, but what you're talking about is I end up quitting jobs. And people are like, what is wrong with you? You quit another job. Like, why are you? And I'm like, I just am over it. I'm over it. And it's like too much. So like I can do daily stuff, right? So I'm not like, I don't present like an introvert and like, oh, I need to go to my room and be quiet. But I quit things. I quit and I leave. And it's like, you know, where I spend a lot of my time is at an elephant sanctuary in Thailand. And it's, there's nothing there. I mean, I work at night, but like, I'm just there working during the day. And I've said that, like, that is when I'm the happiest doing physical labor out in like this very rural area. There's nothing else to do there. There's no TV. There's no nothing.
And that time, even if you're working, is actually regenerating your batteries. You're mm-hmm. you're charging yourself up. It's like you're plugging in and getting recharged, because this is actually a very sensitive chart. And you're very sensitive to suffering, to people's pain. And so you've got a buried Mars in this chart. I'm not going to go into the details of why I'm phrasing it like that, but I'm going to say, I think, and this is my intuitive impression, that in another lifetime, it was religious of some sort. And it was drummed into you, love is good, anger is bad. Like, literally, you're not supposed to get angry. Like, God, you're belittling God if you get angry. You're being mean to our maker if you get angry. So accessing your anger can be a little more challenging for you than for most people. And so you can get angry and then talk yourself out of it. Oh, I know they were an hour late, but, you know, they have a busy life and don't make a big deal about it. But I'm going to tell you, when we get angry about something and don't express it in some way, the anger doesn't go away. It goes into our body. So you have to be very careful about your body, about making sure you're taking care of your body, getting enough exercise, eating right. It's, you just have to learn, when do I speak up and when do I let it go? That can be a lesson for you, because when we speak up in the moment, that's being assertive. You know, oh, I've been waiting here an hour. And the other person could say, I'm so sorry. You know, there was an accident and I couldn't call. They can apologize and you can let it go. But if you don't say anything, you end up brooding over it. You know, 3 days later, you're like, they were just too lazy to pick up a phone. Couldn't they get to their, you know, their email and send me a text? Like, it doesn't go away. You can accidentally punish yourself with it or brood about it. Or, you know, you start to get a headache and you don't associate the headache with the buried anger. So I think that's some past life conditioning. You know, express only love, because God is love or Jesus is love, and that's all you're allowed to express.
Okay, well, that's interesting, because I am very assertive. But I have been trod upon before. I've allowed it to happen on purpose because I felt like I needed to get something out of it, right? But other people, including Corey, are like, what are you doing? But what's interesting is I've been told that, actually, Corey, I think Bethany told me that, like, my issue about writing is, like, I was excoriated in a past life, and she even said, like, some kind of religious thing or writer, whatever. Like, I did something where I was told, like, whoa, back it, you know, bring it down. And so in this lifetime, I've been more timid, even though I appear very confident and very assertive. I mean, I was a cop. I'm a lawyer. I'm super assertive. But it's weird, like, in the moment I am, but then, like, across the board, you know?
That's what I think. It's the moment. Like, Tracy's very assertive. She'll tell you exactly what she thinks in that moment. But then there's the unspoken stuff that she'll hold on to. And so she'll hold on to that. And
chart. It's coming out a little bit different way than
the game. Well, it makes me more, like, it's there. Fearful. Like,
yeah.
Feeling Corey all the time and frustrated with me, because I'm like, oh no, I won't go there. I won't do certain things. It's a deeper thing than this lifetime. But I don't appear as a timid or non-confident person. People are often afraid of me, actually, because I am very assertive. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you. But I am super assertive, like super.
Both of you have a very strong Mercury-Pluto power conjunction in both your charts. And Pluto is the planet that deals with our communication. What do we say? How do we say it? How do we communicate, you know, verbally, through the written word, through social media, podcasts, articles? There are many, many, many ways for us to communicate our message. Pluto is a planet of power. As these two planets come together, it gives both of you a shining star in terms of communication. So whether that communication is through a book, through an article, through doing public speaking, you know, through doing a podcast, both of you have that desire to transform and make a difference through your communication and have the power and the ability to make that happen. And that's, you know, a very strong point of connection between both of you. You know, you may go about it differently, but both of you have that desire to communicate some kind of truth to the world and to uplift and help make the world better through that. Because remember, Virgo is also a sign of service. Both of you, and especially you, Tracy, want to be of service to this world in very practical, down-to-earth ways. Let's say a friend comes to you and she's going through a divorce and, you know, she goes to a friend and, you know, I'm divorcing Bob, I'm leaving him, and she's in crying mess. That friend's going to open her arms, give her a hug and say, there, there, you poor thing, you know, I love you, it's going to be all right. That person's going to go to you, Tracy, and they're going to be boo-hooing. You might open your arms and give them a hug, but then you're going to say, do you have a good lawyer? Have you talked to somebody? Have you looked at A, B, and C? What about the bank accounts? Because you have that desire to be of service in practical, down-to-earth ways that can make a difference to somebody.
It's did you know that I'm a family law? Did you know I'm a family law attorney?
No,
that's what I do. That's my job.
But she's been doing that even before she was a family law attorney. She's been helping everybody through stuff.
Right.
It's funny because we'll have a mutual friend that'll have some kind of issue and they'll come to me and I'll just sort of do my empathetic consoling and then we'll just move on, right? But then they go to Tracy and I've called it the wounded deer syndrome where these people in like suffering, they seem to be drawn to Tracy because she will listen and then she will give them ideas and then she will like help them in ways that I'm not like a not a helper, but like more than the average
different.
Human.
Yeah.
And she's like, how do we have such different relationships with the same people? I'm like, I don't know. They just tell you stuff. You know?
But that's, I could be at a bus stop. This is how it's been since when I was a cop and before. And what's so interesting is I had this discussion with my wife last night, and I want Corey to send her this podcast recording when we're done, because she was like, why do you let people just ask you? Like, she's like, this is, someone has sent me a question like about her situation. Now it's like we're on the 20th question, right? And she's like, why don't you just refer her to your firm and to hire a lawyer instead of you being the one to keep advising her? And I said, this is just who I am. And like, it agitates other people. It doesn't agitate me. I just do it. And like, this was something, and she's like, okay, I'm learning about you. And I said, it's nothing like, it's very interesting how this came about, because what you're talking about is literally what we talked about last night and like how we feel differently about it, you know, and if there's, you know, any kind of like past stuff with this person. And for me, that's all gone. Doesn't mean anything. Right. But when a person keeps asking you more and more and continuing, it agitates other people. But yeah, I literally told her last night, like, I'm a public servant. I've been a public servant. That's who I am. Like, I'm of service to other people. And even when I don't particularly care for that person, or I feel like they've iced me out of their community or whatever's going on, when people come to me with like their problem, usually legal or, you know, something of that nature, I just answer and I keep answering until the problem is solved. And it's agitated other people I've been with. Like, they're like, why do you do that? And I'm like, I don't know. I just feel like I have to be of service to other people.
Well, in your chart, your North Node, which shows us our mission in this lifetime, for want of a better way of putting it, it's in your sixth house of service.
Mm.
And so it's important for you not only to be of service, but be in service in a way that tangibly helps somebody else. So it gives you a very strong desire to be able to do that. Okay. But one of the things I'm going to mention to both of you, but especially you, Tracy, is to be aware of your boundaries, because both of you can struggle with that a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, the opposite sign to Virgo is Pisces, and Pisces for both of you is over the cusp of your seventh house. And the seventh house is the area of the chart that deals with love, marriage, and romance. And the sign that's on that cusp, often shows us what kind of person we're attracted to, or what kind of qualities we're looking for in a spouse and in a mate. You know, what bothers us, what kind of gets our motor going, what's going on there. Now, Pisces is a lovely, lovely sign. One of my best friends is a Pisces. But every sign has its high side of the best of that sign, and every sign has its shadow side of, oh, watch out for this, don't go in that direction. Now, the high side for Pisces is beautiful. It symbolizes being with somebody who gets you, who loves you for who you are, who you two can be on the same page about it, everything, who is romantic, who is supportive. Great, great high side to this energy in terms of love, marriage, and romance. But the shadow side is something you have to really watch out for with this, because the shadow side of Pisces is addiction and sometimes emotional illness. And it means that both of you, and you're in your 50s, so I'm really talking about maybe younger years, you can get caught up being in a relationship with somebody who is maybe not honest with you, who is not telling you the truth about everything. Somebody who you think, oh, they're the one who's going to save me. They're the one I'm meant to be with. And then you move in together and discover, oh, they've got $82,000 worth of debt and they can't work because they're clinically depressed. And I'm holding down two jobs to try to support us. Sometimes there could be deception and illusion. They didn't mention they were schizophrenic and off their meds or whatever. So people with Pisces in this place in their chart, especially when you're younger, need to be a little bit more careful and have very firm boundaries.
Well, this is very interesting because both Corey and I learned boundaries, and we've been told where. Can you hear the doctor?
You're fading in and out a little bit.
Yeah. Hold on. Corey, you talk about this, boundaries and past relationships. Like, we've gone, okay, it's so crazy. I'm done with all that, and we work through it, and that's what we work through. I work through boundaries with the astrologer coach I was working with, where I didn't care about boundaries. I didn't have them, didn't care. It bothered people that I was with before in my, you know, many years ago. But I learned that since I got divorced, you know, I got divorced in 2021, and then I had four very short-lived relationships where I had to learn about, like, boundaries, being treated a certain way, not accepting certain things. And now I've gotten to what I believe is like my place of almost like ideal, where I know how to work through these things, and that I've chosen and I'm with somebody who embodies all of the things that I want, who really loves me, who actually cares about me for who I am, and then gets me in a way that other people never have. But I had to be with those people and to learn those boundaries, right? And so that was something we discussed last night also, boundaries. Like, so she thinks, okay, well, this person could be threatening or whatever. And I'm like, look, I have set up I didn't have boundaries years ago, right? And now I do. And I'm very careful about that. I'm very careful about protecting what I have. But I still am a person of service. So it's like, maybe other people can't see how I'm balancing that, you know, but I am. And there are times, like in the past week, where I've just felt exhausted by people coming at me and needing stuff. And so I've put up my own walls. Yesterday, I just shut my computer and went to the pool and laid in the pool by myself and waited till she got there, right? I never would do that before, but I'm feeling that more and more, you know?
What I tell people who are extremely sensitive, like you, is that anytime you're going to be around a lot of people, maybe that's work or a movie or a sporting event, even the grocery store, you know, you have to make sure that you're protecting your energy field. Mm-hmm. You can just, you know, symbolize and visualize a egg of white light around you, something to protect you. Because otherwise, you're wide open. And as you go through that grocery store picking cereal and whatever off the shelves, you're picking up bits and pieces of other people's emotional refuse, so to speak, refuse.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to do that. You can walk into the grocery store in a very good mood. You think about what you're having for dinner. You walk out an hour later, you're cranky, you're tired, you have a headache, life sucks. Because you picked up everybody else's energies. And if they were throwing off, oh, life is so good, love and light, peace on earth, that might not be so bad. But people are throwing up, I hate my job, I hate that boss, I can't stand this, or please let that kid pass chemistry. And they're throwing off lots of stuff that's maybe a bit more negative.
But you know what's so interesting about you saying this is, like, that's why I had to quit being a litigator. And that's what I've been manifesting for the last year, is a different kind of job where I can be of service, but where I don't have that continued negativity towards me. Because in the last year, I felt like I was going to have a heart attack. Like, my head was going to pop off my body. Like, I was going to quit in April, and I wrote a resignation letter on the weekend, didn't submit it. And they actually came, my friend came to me and was like, do you want to do something different? And it was everything that I had wanted, but taken all my stress away.
And in a way, writing that resignation letter shifted an energetic norm. You were setting a boundary. You were setting the tone. You were saying, no, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm protecting me. So when you do that, the universe will rise up to meet you there, you know. And so both of you have had to look at this. But everybody has one of the 12 signs over their area of love, marriage, and romance. And it's going to indicate what kind of qualities you're drawn to, what kind of partner you want, you know. Let's say you have Venus there. You might want somebody who likes the good life. Venus, Libra, who's ruled by Venus, likes the finer things, likes a little luxury, you know, likes to party or have a good time. So you might want somebody that's lighthearted and full of harmony and peace and love. That might be what you want. But if you have Aries over that area, you may be drawn to a partner who's very aggressive, assertive. And you may be the kind of person who wants a partner that will stand up for you and be strong and, you know, go fight the dragon for you. But again, it's a question of perspective and percentage. Yes, you might want a strong partner, but when is it being strong? And when, if they put their hands on you, have they gone too far? You know, so that sign is going to show us the best of what we can look for, and also what to watch out for in our relationships. So it's a really strong part of the chart.
I'm going to say something.
No, I got something real quick. I got something.
I'm going to say it, and then I'm saying it.
Well, say
Corey's already been through this. Corey has learned the same lessons I have. She's like a couple months behind me, and I've already told her who she needs to be with, and I'm very directive because I don't know if you see this in our charts, but other people have told us I am her spirit guide. I'm on her spirit council. She needs to listen to me, and we did come here to learn lessons together, and I already knew who this person was, and I told her, and she's about to go there, and I've now achieved, like, she's a few months behind me, so she's been annoyed because I got married and I'm all happy and things are going great and I got exactly what I want in life. And now she's about to get it, and I've been shepherding her there.
Well,
because we learned these lessons already that you talked about with people.
I'm going to disagree with you just a little bit, Tracy, because you are not Corey's spirit guide. Doesn't mean you can't be a good friend and a helper and a guide and somebody who loves her and cares about her on every level. But a spirit guide is never going to be in a physical body at the same time we are.
Well, interesting. We've been told that.
And a spirit guide, and the difference between spirit guides and angels, is spirit guides have been in a body before. They know what it's like to be hungry or afraid or thirsty or discouraged. They understand the human experience. Angels have never been in a human body. They don't understand what it's like to be discouraged or tired or hungry or sick or whatever. And so you're not going to have a spirit guide working with you in this lifetime to help you reach your goals who doesn't understand how hard it is to be in this body. They've been with you on the other side from the moment you took your first breath, and they will be with you until you leave this lifetime. It does not mean you can't have other helpers and people who love you and are going to be there, which you can be, Tracy. But a spirit guide's job is to help that person achieve the goals they set for this lifetime. It's not necessarily to make their life easier. Let's say, you know, I think of Scott Hamilton. I don't know if you guys are much younger than I am, so I don't know if you remember him. Very famous ice skater, won a bunch of gold medals.
Little shorty.
He had lots of lung problems and breathing problems as a child. But his parents noticed when they took him to the ice rink, he didn't have those problems. He could breathe better. So you're not going to have a spirit guide who moves in to take away the breathing problems if those breathing problems help you achieve your life's goal. So their job is not necessarily to take away our struggles or our problems, but it's to help us use that for the highest possible purpose, to help us achieve our life's goals. So I am glad Corey has a friend like you in her corner And you can call on your spirit guide all the time to help us learn through ease and grace. I was in my 40s before I realized, oh, I can ask to learn this the easy way. Like, hello? It just never occurred to me. I could learn without suffering and being hit in the head with a 2x4. I could learn the easy way, like bingo. So I started asking to learn the easy way, and guess what? Life got easier. So we can call on our spirit guide for help. Let me see what this situation is teaching me. Let me learn. Let me lift up to my highest level. The spirit guide is always there to help you, but they will not necessarily ever make a decision for you or move in to fix it so you don't have to face it. That's not their job. I'm sorry, Tori, you were trying to talk to me and ask me something, weren't you?
Yeah, this was not it, but I do have a thought. This is in a totally different direction. No, this is good. So my question, I guess, based off of this now, kind of down this line of thinking is, you know, if Tracy and I have had many past life relationships together, as you even mentioned early on, like if in your mind she's not showing up as a spirit guide to me, could we have some kind of a pact together that we come back to lifetimes so that her help to me is more than just like a casual friend? It's there's something more karmic about it or something more soul circle about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I definitely see the two of you being together so many lifetimes. I think in at least one of those lifetimes, you were family members together, like the same family member.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tracy, no wait, sorry, in some ways was a little bit of a protector for you or something. And so I think there's some of that, you know, protector energy that is still there. But I think you were siblings. I think you've been friends. I think you've been boss and employee in other lifetimes. I think you had many, many different types of lifetimes. Most of the time, the people who are important to us, the people who are there for us, the people who mean something to us, we have some sort of pact with them. We have some sort of agreement with them. You're going to come in, I'm going to help you do this, or we're going to learn this together, or, you know, there's a meaning there. If that person is meaningful to you in your life, there's a soul lesson there. There's a soul contract there. Sometimes the people who hurt us the most, love us the most, they have chosen to take on some sort of situation that may hurt them or even to some degree hurt us in order to help us grow. For instance, I had a client whose sibling tried to kill themselves, and they were very upset, very angry. How could they do this? They didn't succeed. And the relationship went on, but there was a lot of anger there. And then one day, I happened to see a solution for this or realize why this had happened. And I said to my client, in another lifetime, you took your own life and it devastated the people around you. And this person volunteered to come in to experience so much unhappiness and pain that they would try to do the same thing so that you could understand what that experience was like.
Wow.
So soulmates do not always equal unicorns and rainbows. Sometimes right. They do. But sometimes love is the willingness to take on that situation. A friend of mine's son has cerebral palsy, and she was told he took this on to give both of his parents an opportunity to learn out of love. So we tend to look at this in very two-dimensional ways, but when you start talking about karma and love and growth and learning, it's very multidimensional.
Wow. Well, Susan, this has blown me away. So thank you so much for being on with us today and connecting with us. What's on the horizon for you? What's next for you? How do our listeners connect with you? I mean, I'm sure there's going to be people very interested.
I cannot believe this has been an hour almost. Right. It just flew by. I would have thought it was like 20 minutes.
I know.
Well, we can have you back anytime.
My pleasure. You can connect with me and find me on my website, www.exploreastrology.com. Every month on my website, I put out free predictions for every sign, totally free. So you can go to Explore Astrology right now and look at what does August hold for you. I list all 12 signs. Every morning on my Facebook page, which is either Susan Reynolds or Explore Astrology with Susan Reynolds, I put out a post saying, what is the moon in today? What to expect today? So you can look at that. If you want to be on my mailing list, every month I send out an article about the new moon and the full moon for the month, what to expect, how to use this energy. Right now, I'm in the midst of creating a new website. So that is obsessing me. Our tentative, very tentative launch date is September 15th. So there's a lot to do and a lot for me that I have to learn. And for a technophobe, this is very challenging. So all of that is going on. Every year in January, I give a predictions talk on what to expect in the year ahead. And so a lot of things I said in January, we're already seeing happen and unfold throughout the year. So yes, so a lot going on, new website and new predictions. And in September, I'm doing what I call Fun Fridays, which every Friday I talk for an hour on a different subject. And sometimes it's about predictions. Sometimes it's about something spiritual. It's whatever appeals to me. And I call it Fun Fridays because I do all the heavy lifting. And all you have to do is sit home, relax, have a glass of wine, and I do all the work. So that's life is awesome. Busy, and for all of us getting busier, but free predictions and posting things, that's my way of giving back. In a world that's a little tumultuous right now, that's a way of being able to say, I can't fix the world, but here's what I can do to help everybody.
Wow.
Well, excellent.
Awesome.
That's great. I'm going to have to tune into that. I really like that so much. Susan, again, thank you so much for being on. This has been wonderful. And for all of our listeners out there, until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship, and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.